Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Loving God is to hate evil, and it begins with our leaders. The leaders must set the example, leaders at all levels, and leaders at home, and ultimately the leaders of the church. And we are to hate every false way. And the Lord taught us how to do that, and that is by meditating upon God's word with understanding, leading up to obedience. And then this morning we focus on Proverbs 6, verse 16 to verse 19, where the Lord tells us the things that He hates. And so He identified for us seven things. Six He hates, and number seven is an abomination. And so tonight we shall focus on Amos chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 15, whereby we will focus on the importance of our witness. Remember, the devil cannot take away our salvation if you are truly born again. That is never his agenda, even though he may at times make us think we have lost our salvation. And so the Bible teaches us to make sure of our salvation, which means you must have a very good, complete, and thorough understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible is basically divided into two types of scripture. The Bible calls it milk and meat. The milk is important because that is the starting point of our salvation, which means the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Christ has many aspects, and you have to understand these aspects very, very well, and they must be anchored in God's word so that He will not succeed in making you doubt your salvation. Because if He succeeds, and the moment you doubt your salvation, you are rendered useless. You don't feel like evangelizing. You definitely will not want to serve because you're not even sure of your salvation. And some of these aspects are found in Hebrews. And the Bible includes those aspects of salvation as the milk doctrine, and they are also known as the basic doctrines, the first principles. That's how the Bible describes it. And it would include baptism. Know the difference between water baptism and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Know the difference between what it means to have faith in salvation, faith in witness and service and in life. Please also understand the meaning of the virgin birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of the resurrection. These are some of the aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you must know very well. Otherwise, Satan will succeed in causing you to doubt your salvation, even though he cannot take it away. His purpose is to destroy your witness. That is the agenda. And that was the agenda in the time of Israel as a national witness. That is our responsibility to be a witness for Christ, and that therefore will be his agenda as well. But the difference between us and Israel is this. The covenant that God made with us is primarily to be a witness for Him after salvation on earth. Of course, after He saved us, you will never lose your salvation. Your salvation is safe and secure on earth. But He left you and me behind for a purpose, and that is to be a witness. And He has equipped us very well for that purpose. Now, in the case of the nation of Israel, Christ had not come yet. And so, therefore, the covenant that God made with Israel is basically two parts. The first part depends entirely upon God's faithfulness. Nothing to do with Israel. And that is the promise of the Messiah. The Lord gave us the first gospel in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And from that point onwards, the Lord began to reveal to us more and more of the identity of the woman. Who will she be? Where will she come from? Because Christ cannot just appear out of nowhere. So please do not think that Israel was a nation chosen by God. Israel was a nation not only chosen by God, Israel was a nation designed by God from the very beginning. God did not take a Gentile nation and then converted it into a Christian nation. He did not do that. because all Gentile nations originated from idolatry. No exception. And so God cannot use any of the Gentile nations. And so in order for Christ to come, he cannot come without a nation. And so God did not see any nation suitable. And so he had to design his own nation. And so prior to the book of Exodus, before Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, the witness for God was by means of individual godly families, where the head of every family who is born again, the head is born again, he will function like priests, mediators. That's why Abraham can offer offerings on behalf of the whole family. Job could offer offerings on behalf of the whole family. So that was a family witness before the formation of the nation of Israel. Witness is always important. And during this period of the family witness, the Lord revealed to us, step by step, little by little, the identity of this woman where the Lord Jesus Christ will be come from, will come from. And so the Lord told us, Abel, but Abel was killed, and God replaced Abel with Seth. And from Seth, God slowly culminated on a man called Noah. And then after the flood, Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth. It will be Shem. And then it will continue to reveal to us in Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11. It will culminate in a man called Terah, also had three sons. It will focus on one man, his son called Abram, which later on God changed to Abraham. And then from there, you realize that the line of the Messiah was unprotected by any nation. If the devil wanted to stop God, all he needed to do was to get Abraham to disobey God. So if God said to Abraham, you leave Ur of the Chaldees and come and stay in this land of Canaan, which in the future will become the promised land. Now, not only must he stay, his son must stay, Isaac. Now, if he did not teach his son well, if he did not do what is right, and Isaac does not stay, and Isaac were to leave, we are in trouble. The whole world will be in trouble. Because God has a plan. They did not know it, because from that point, God will tick all of them and place them in Egypt. And Egypt will be like the womb that will turn 75 souls into more than 2 million within a period of 430 years. And then God will give birth to the nation of Israel at the end of it, using Moses to lead them out. Once the nation was formed, the line of the Messiah will now be insulated and protected within the nation of Israel. So if Satan wanted to destroy it, he had to invade, he had to infiltrate into the nation to try to snuff out the line of the Messiah. So in the case of the national witness, the covenant that God made with Israel is always two part. The first part is the line of the Messiah that depends entirely upon God's faithfulness, because God never dies. But then the other aspect of it is to be a witness, a holy witness. Now that is dependent upon Israel's obedience. If Israel is not obedient, God told us in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 29. These two chapters describe, if you obey, you'll be a blessing. This will be your testimony, and this is what I will do for you and in you. But if you disobey, curses will follow. And this will be the curses. It will begin with famine, drought. If this is not enough, I will intensify the curse. Oppressors will come, and you will be killed. Many of you will suffer. You will plant. Someone else will come and rob you and take everything away from you. And ultimately, if you still refuse to repent, I will take you out of the promised land, exile. It's all found there. So when it comes to holy witness, it is conditioned upon Israel's obedience. And that is where the devil will continue to target. He will target both. As long as Christ's first coming is not a reality, he will try to destroy both. And he nearly succeeded when Athaliah, out of some mental, to me, crazy desire to be the next king of Israel, when he found out that his mother, Jezebel, had been killed. She killed all her own grandchildren, if not for Joash. the line of the Messiah would have been snuffed out. That was the most critical period because of the disobedient kings, because of the idolatry of Solomon. Satan was able to infiltrate into the witness of Israel through the many temples that Solomon built in order to placate his many, many foreign wives, to give them a place of worship so that they don't have to nag at him and say, I want to go home and worship, I want to go and worship. Instead of doing that, he built temples for his multiple wives in order to placate their nonsense. And that's what he did. And it was not removed until Josiah's time. The Bible tells us all these things in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And so he infiltrated and he tried. But thank God the Lord did come. The Lord did live. And the Lord did die. And the Lord did rise from the dead for our justification. As God's stamp of approval that what the Lord did for mankind is enough to take away all the sins of the world. Now once that has been accomplished, Satan will continue to attack, but now he doesn't attack twofold. He doesn't attack the messianic line because that's already done. He will now pour in his entire focus on one thing, witness. And so when Israel rejected Christ, God had no choice but to reject Israel. And God replaced Israel with the church. And so what we read here in Amos chapter 5 verse 15, verse 1 to verse 15, was the prelude to the destruction of Israel, because soon after this, Israel will be destroyed by the Assyrians who will come and remove Israel from the promised land because they refused to repent. And based upon God's covenantal relationship, final piece of the covenant of your disobedience, of your curse, exile. And this was the prelude. It's as if God was giving them one last final opportunity. Will you repent? That's what God sent these prophets to do. But tragically, sadly, we know they did not. For us today, it is not about the first coming, but the purpose of witnessing remains the same. And so what happened to Israel when they failed the Lord in witness? We draw principles and we learn from their mistakes. Because if we do not, we're going to repeat them. So how did God, through Amos, challenge and admonish the people who live in disobedience, who fail the Lord in witness, whereby God said, I will not use you as my witness as long as you bow down to idolatry? Now please note the heart of God in these 15 verses of Amos. God did not delight in scolding anyone. It broke the heart of God to have to rebuke Israel because of Israel's failure, and very soon after this, Israel will be destroyed. Millions of Israelites will die of all the superpowers. The Assyrians, later on followed by the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. The worst of all, according to many commentators and theologians, would be the Assyrians. The Romans are very good in building aqueducts, in building roads, and God used them. The good roads, the safety to every Roman citizen, so that one man called Paul could bring the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. Using all the old-fashioned modes of transportation, the Lord did it. So the Roman government, the empire, did some good because of their engineering skill and technology. The Greeks, their language. So God used the Greek language to give us the New Testament. Of course, from the world's perspective, their Olympics. The Persians, God used them to send Israel back after 70 years of exile. But for the Babylonians, God used them. And God saved Nebuchadnezzar during the period of exile. And while Daniel, the three friends, and the thousands of Jews who were in Babylon, do you realize that God's presence was in Babylon throughout the 70 years? Two books, Daniel, Ezekiel, were written in Babylon. And so Babylon basically was blessed by God because of the presence of the people of Judah and Israel. And God gave them the word. And therefore, many Babylonians were given the privilege to hear God's word and be saved. But the Assyrians, when commentators look at the Assyrians and look at what they did using extra biblical material, they were good for one thing: how to invent new way to torture people. The Assyrians. Why do you think Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, their capital city, to give them the gospel? He hated them like poison. I don't want to go because just in case they might be saved. Let all these Ninevites, all these Assyrians die in sin and end up in hell. They are cruel people. Their reputation is how to invent and dream of new sin, new way to punish and hurt people, torture people, persecute people. That's the Assyrians. And soon they will come and destroy Israel. But before that, God sent Amos to rebuke them, hoping that they will be saved. Now, if the nation is destroyed, but at least the individual Israelites who will be converted, just like today. We know the Antichrist will rule this earth. We know that one day everything you own will be owned by him, because he's going to enforce a global economic sanction. You and I are already seeing it and tasting it. If you do not toe the line, in America, one cake shop was brought to court because they refused to bake a cake to celebrate a homosexual couple's wedding. And they were in trouble. They're already facing it. They are forcing you by law, by whatever means, to force you to either accept what they believe in or else you pay the price. And so the Antichrist will enforce a global economic sanction. And you and I know how powerful that is. As you can see, some of these superpower like America and others threatening smaller countries, you do not do what we want. Economic sanction, right? You look at North Korea. They are suffering like crazy. Seriously. And other countries like Cuba. But there will come a man who will be the capital A Antichrist, and he's going to control the world. So you and I will taste it. But in our case, it is the second coming of Christ. And so therefore, we need to have the same kind of mindset as Amos. We are not trying to prevent the second coming, the Antichrist empire of 7 years from becoming a reality. We know it will become a reality. Our purpose is not to stop them. Our purpose is to save as many individuals as possible in our world, in our lives, by the gospel of Christ. That's our purpose. We know the Christian church will turn apostate. We're not trying to stop it from becoming apostate. We know it will become apostate. There is no way it can be stopped. The Lord prophesied that it will happen. Our purpose is to save individual souls, just like Amos. As many souls as possible to be saved as individuals. Israel will be destroyed. That judgment is not going to be averted. It will take place. But for individual Israelites, you can be saved, just like today. So Amos 5, 1 to 15, responsively, please. Please read with careful observation. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not a Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, nor pass and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek ye him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoil shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine off them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Last three verses together, please. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord and the God of hosts shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Now, as you read this passage, do you see certain words that keep appearing? It's the word seek, isn't it? Whenever in the Bible you see certain verbs or nouns that keep appearing, obviously that will be the focus, the emphasis. Now, verse 1 to verse 3 tells us the sad state of affairs. The judgment is certain. Right? Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. That is, Israel is gone. That means right from the very beginning of your birth, you have never been put into exile. It's going to happen. Never been exiled before. That's why it's called the virgin of Israel. First time. From the time they entered in the days of Joshua, the moment they kicked the Canaanites out, they have been in the promised land for hundreds of years. Since 1405, they entered. They will be replaced, or sorry, they will be in exile, 722 BC. 1405 minus 722, hundreds of years, 700 to 800 years. They have been in existence. That's how long. They became so confident, we'll never be in exile. Well, the virgin of Israel is fallen. Now, Amos is trying to save the individual. The world is fallen. We are trying to save the individuals today. And that's what the church is doing. That's what the church must continue to fight and earnestly contend for the faith, to maintain and retain the authenticity and the integrity of what the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. Because many churches have already fallen, and they also call themselves Christian churches, but in them, what you find will be whitewashed sepulchre. Very good looking on the outside, but inside are all dead bones, dead bodies. Whitewashed sepulchre. New creation, whitewashed sepulchre. How do you know that? You listen to the gospel of Joseph Prince. This is the gospel that he preached. I assume this will be the gospel that he believed in. I've listened to more than 200 of his messages. And so the gospel of Joseph Prince has not changed. He packaged it more convincingly today, since the early days when I first heard him. But today, he is more convincing, but the package is still, the content of the package is still the same. Believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sin, you'll be healthy and wealthy. That has not changed. It's still the same. And that's the gospel that he believed in. And that is not the gospel of the Bible, which means he is preaching another gospel. Let him be anathema. And all those who believe and follow him will also be cursed by him and die in sin together with him. This is what is happening. And so may God preserve this church, that it will remain a citadel where the word of God is not compromised, where Christians can still come in and grow in the Lord and find a comfort and strength to live more for Christ. And sinners may come in and find salvation in Christ, where the gospel is not diluted or contaminated by the compromises of the world today. Will this church remain faithful? How is your witness? Israel's witness at the time was gone, lost completely. That's why the Lord says, hear ye this word, that means listen intelligently, which I take up against you, O house of Israel. Why did God add the phrase, even a lamentation? Because it broke God's heart. God gave birth to the nation of Israel. And now God is about to kick Israel out of the promised land. Because her witness is no longer holy. The witness of Israel does not project the image of Christ anymore. Because of their idolatry. Ever since the split, the divided kingdom. When Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, built a golden calf in Dan and a golden calf in Bethel. That's why Bethel is mentioned here. They still use the name Jehovah for your information. For the past 200-300 years, the divided kingdom appeared in 930 BC. Now it's 722 BC. That is 200 years ago. They still use the name Jehovah, but they did so in front of the golden calf. One in Bethel, one up north in Dan. It's gone. It broke God's heart. And that's why God used the word, or even a lamentation. You think God liked to write all these and say all these words and send Amos to say all these words? That I'm going to take you out of the promised land? That your wives and your sons, that they're going to be slaves? They're going to be prisoners? And many of you, millions of you will die in the hand of the Assyrian army, which is a very wicked people. You think God liked to do that? But because you have been misrepresenting Christ, when I have given you everything to succeed, I've given you the word, I've given you prophets to rebuke you, like Elijah and Elisha, and many more to rebuke you, to stop you from idolatry, and you keep on rejecting them, and you won't listen. God said, enough. I now have to take you out of the promised land, so that you will no longer be a national witness, and there will be only one left, and that's Judah. I do not want you to witness for me anymore. And that's what the word lamentation simply means. A dirge accompanied by the beating of the breast. It's not just simply crying. It's like a person who has just lost a loved one and is beating his breast in tears and weeping and wailing. That's the word lamentation. This is how God felt. This is the heart of God Almighty through the prophet Amos. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. You think we like to highlight to people and tell people that people who are in the charismatic churches, people who listen to the gospel of men like Joseph Prince and Gong Hee and many others, that they are being duped and deceived, and all those who embrace that kind of gospel will still die in sin and end up in hell? You think there is great joy and great delight in all these things? Nothing. No delight at all. Only great sadness and tragedy. Because we're talking about human beings, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters dying in sin and ending up in hell. Someone showed me a YouTube of one church in Singapore. I do not know where the church is because I look at the background, I look at the children, they're all Chinese, they look like Singaporean. They have this American elderly lady, looks so motherly, looks so harmless, but she was playing the fool with them, teaching these young children, because these foolish parents will send their young children. These are all young children, maybe in primary school, primary 4 or 5. And you know what she was doing? Teaching them how to raise the dead. Literally, teaching them how to raise the dead. You think it's a game. And so I said, who wants to play dead? Who wants to play dead? And so the children, yeah, me. And pretend to lie down there, and then she will say what, her mumbo jumbo and all that, and then ask the child, now you can rise up from the dead. And the parents are foolish enough to let their children play with fire like this. You think dying is fun? You think it's a game that people die? Why would they do things like this in churches? And foolish parents will allow this kind of thing to happen. And this elderly, white-haired, innocent-looking American lady, because of her English-American accent, not harmless at all. She may look so, but the words that come out of her mouth are poisonous and deadly and definitely devilish. Teaching young children to play the fool with the dead. The concept of death. We are living in the last days. The judgment is already here. But there is no joy, no delight in pointing out all these erroneous, sad churches. That's why God used the word, or even a lamentation. He could not. He didn't have to use it. You look at the verse. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, O house of Israel, would have been complete. Isn't that true? But he purposely inserted the phrase, even a lamentation. It breaks my heart to tell you that you are going to be in exile. The virgin of Israel is fallen. It's gone. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. God is not going to help her anymore. It's gone. It's done. It's over. For thus said the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. 10% left. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10. 90% of everyone in Israel will die. How many were in Israel? 10 million? 8 million? 10% will be left. You know how sad, you know how many fathers, mothers, grandparents all will die? We're talking about real, actual death, and they're going to end up in hell. And it is coming. In our case, it is not just a nation, it is the world. And we're not talking about millions, we're talking about billions of people are going to die in sin and end up in hell. This is certain. This is going to happen. This is our future, our world's future. Please, we have to take the responsibility of witnessing for Christ very seriously. Now, just like this Amos, the prophet is not going to stop the Assyrians. It's already guaranteed. He is trying to save as many individual Israelites as possible, just like what we are attempting to do. To save as many individuals that God sent into your life, into your world, as possible. I have relatives in the charismatic churches. My sister, or my sisters, plural, are inside. My brother and his family, inside the Methodist church, an ecumenical church. I don't know how to reach out to them. And I cannot keep on nagging them. I cannot, every time I see them, I say the same thing. They're not going to invite me to their home anymore. Every time I go to their house, get out of the ecumenical church. You think they're going to want to see my face? Every time I come out of go to their house to visit them, only one word will come on my mouth. Get out of the... I can't do that. But it breaks my heart to see them inside. His children are inside. Sometimes, whenever they broach the subject, whenever they can, I try my best. And I have to pray very hard to use the right words, to say the right thing, so that I will not end up a bully. Because I'm theologically trained, they are not. And so I don't want to end up in a theological argument whereby I lose my control, and then I try to win an argument and lose a soul. I don't want that to happen. It has happened before in the past when I was much younger. Out of foolishness and earnest zeal, I won the argument, but I have lost the soul. What's the point? The point is to save the soul. I know it is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. Many will die. Our world too. You look at the world that you are in, your country, Australia. All these people will win, in inverted commas. The homosexuals will win. The world will support them. You will have to face some degree of persecution, and you have to prepare for some level of suffering. No matter what, in order to hold on, you've got to be prepared for it. And then suddenly, rapture will take place, and everything will be over. Don't work for anything that is of this earth. I do not know how many times we have to emphasize that before we take heed. Tell our sons and our daughters to forget their ambition. They should never have any ambition. Tell them to forget about the accolades of the world. Tell them to stop seeking the things of the world. They will find no comfort when the Antichrist appears. Nothing on earth will ever, ever be owned by you, because he's going to take everything from you. The Lord told us so. Without the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell. What does that mean? Your credit card will be useless. Your money is useless. Everything that you now have, as you term, as the power of transaction, because of the size of your bank account, because of the size and no limit of your credit card, they are going to be rendered useless overnight. You want to eat, you want to drink, you want to feed your children, you be part of his kingdom. Put on the mark of the beast. But if you have the mark of the beast, the mark of God will not be in you. You are not born again. The moment you succumb, you choose to live a comfortable life on earth under the yoke of the Antichrist and the devil for a season of time, or you suffer for Christ and live with Him in heaven for eternity. This is going to be our choice. This is the reality ahead of us. That's why the loss of witness has already occurred in Israel, just like the loss of witness has already occurred in the face of Christianity today. 2 Thessalonians verse 1 to verse 3. Christianity will fall away before my return, the Lord says. And we are living in that time frame. It has fallen. Please understand this. It has fallen. Why do you think there are so few good churches today? If you leave SBPC in Sydney, please, can you tell me where is the next good sound church? Where is it? Perth is the same thing. Sure, Perth experienced four splits. All right, four splits. I call them four illegitimate children. Because they're all four bad ones. All four bad ones. You leave BPCW, you have nowhere to go, literally. Where do you go? Yeah, there's Faith Presbyterian Church. Maybe you can go there, but other than that, that's it. In Singapore, likewise, only a handful left. A handful of sound, fundamental BP churches. Because if you don't believe, you just go to the internet and type a simple phrase. NCC, National Council of Churches, Singapore. And you find practically every single church inside there. You do the same here. NCC, Australia. National Council of Churches of Australia. And then you see what are the churches that are already full-fledged members. They're all there. Every country will have its own National Council of Churches, and all of them are the arms and legs of the World Council of Churches, ruled by the devil. Founded in 1948 by Harold Okenga. No, by the World Council of Churches. Harold Okenga is the new evangelical movement. These are the last days. The witness is lost in the face of Christianity, but not lost as individuals. That was what Amos was trying to highlight. So how to restore the witness as an individual? In our case, as a small little church. How do we do that? Verse 4 to verse 9. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. That's the phrase. Verse 6, same thing. Verse 14, seek good and not evil. That's the key word, seek. And the word seek means to follow. And it is in the imperative command. And you have to do it. That's the only way. You have to come back to the Lord. Now, how to come back to the Lord? The Bible. You cannot separate the person of Christ from the Bible. To know the person of Christ, you study the Bible. And therefore, to seek the Lord means to study the Bible. Understand it, meditate upon it, and obey it, which we have been doing. Right? Teaching us. Meditate, understand, obey. That's how you seek the Lord, and you will live. The answer is in the Word of God. First, find salvation in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's the beginning of your journey of salvation. That's how you get out of the ecumenical movement, the power and the yoke of the devil. The only safety in your life and in your children's life from the power and influence of homosexuality and all the ills and carnality of the world is in Christ. That is our ark before the fiery destruction of this earth by the wrath of God in the last days. Only in Christ. So you want to protect your children, make sure their salvation, please ask them. Ask them to make sure of their own salvation if they're old enough to understand, and tell them to please produce the evidence of fruit of salvation. And there are more than enough in the New Testament, because God knows we need it. Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live. Seek not Bethel. That's where the golden calf is. Don't enter the Gilgal, another place of idolatry. Don't pass, and pass not Beersheba. All these are places of idolatry. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel will come to naught. Nothing. You go and worship idols, they are not going to help you. You go into the world, all the accolades of man, all the money, power, all these things, not going to help you. Just like all these idols, they're not going to help you. You go to the charismatic churches, they're not going to help you. They're all part of the whole ecumenical movement. Same for the Roman Catholic. They're all going to be part of the council of the Antichrist in the last days. It's already here to stay. You just check on the internet. They are not ashamed of it. They are not hiding it from you. All you need is to see for yourself. And hoping that by seeing the reality of all these global movements, it may cause us to understand the futility of materialism and the deadly nature of carnality. It is very seductive because it continues to appeal to our five senses. That's why Amos said to them, don't go to any of the cities and bow down to your idols. They're not going to help you. They're going to be destroyed and they're all going to come to nothing. Everything out in the world is the same. Only in the Word of God. That's going to be your safety. Seek the Lord by seeking Him through the Bible. Seek the Lord and you will live. He repeats it in verse 6. In verse 4, the Lord says, seek ye me and ye shall live. Verse 6, same thing. Seek the Lord and you will live. You want to live? We're talking about not just live physically, eternal life. Many in the days of the great tribulation will die for their faith. You can see that in the book of Revelation. That the Lord described them as victorious because they refused to bow down to the mark of the beast and the beast himself. They refused to succumb to any of his ploys. And many of them died because of it. That means they held on to the faith to the very end of their lives. And they were victorious. How strong and determined and convicted are you in holding on to your life of holiness according to the Bible? That's what the Lord tells them. Seek me and you will live. The seek him means you study the Bible and you find out what the Bible teaches concerning every aspect of your life in Christ. Your witness. That's the only way. All areas of your life must glorify God, must be lived according to the Bible. If it is not, fix it immediately. All relationships, husband, wife, I pray and hope that it is sound and good and biblical, truly. Parent-child relationship, the same. And you thank God for it, and you sustain it, and you keep it strong and healthy. Your relationship with the Lord in service in the church, make sure that it is also strong and healthy. And don't use the church like a hotel. Come and go and get what you want and don't contribute. And we're not talking about tithe and offering. The least important thing in a believer's life is money. Tithe and offering is something that we should struggle the least. Because the least important thing in the believer's life is his material life. Sometimes when people go up and say, I thank God for God's blessing because I have been promoted, I got my bonus. That's not a blessing. Please understand this. It's not a blessing. The blessings for us today are only spiritual. You know how many people, because of the promotion, because of the more money that they get, they stray away and they stop coming to church, they stop serving. So how can that be a blessing? That's a curse. It can become a blessing if you use it wisely. If you don't use it wisely, the material gain that you have by themselves, they are not a blessing. Not yet. It depends on now how you react and respond to how you use them. If you don't use them wisely and carefully, you stop coming for prayer meeting, you stop studying the Bible, you stop attending worship service faithfully, and you stop service because you're overseas most of the time because of your new job, your new promotion with bigger bucks, bigger house, bigger car. You have less time for the Lord. You have just been duped by the devil. And you don't even know it. He has been hooking you, and now he is willing you in. You have been bitten by his bug. He has wheeled you in hook, line, and sinker. He dangled in front of you a job that you don't need. He dangled in front of you a title that you don't need. But then you open your big fat mouth and you bit into it, and now he is willing you in. And what is the past couple of years of your life? Hardly found in church. Oh, you have lots of money. Very secure and safe with a bigger bank account. Fine. That's the battle of Israel. It will come to naught because every cent is going to go to the devil. He's going to get it all. So you better use it now. He's going to own it. You better use it. Use it not to travel, you know. Use it wisely to help you be a more effective Christian. Use it to help other believers be better Christians. That's what it means by use it. Use it to extend God's kingdom. That's what it means. Use it for the spiritual blessing of yourself and others, that you can become a more effective witness for Christ. That's what it means. Don't go to battle. All these are going to help you. Seek the Lord and you will live for eternity. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph. It's called the house of Joseph because the largest and the most powerful tribe in this divided kingdom of Israel was Ephraim. And Ephraim is part of the house of Joseph. Two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim was the stronger of the two and the stronger of the 10 tribes. Judah was made up of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And that's why the house of Joseph is used as a synonym for the nation of Israel. The house of Israel. Synonym. Just like when you talk about Washington, we know you're talking about America. That's a capital city. So when you identify the largest tribe, that is Ephraim, basically you're referring to the divided northern kingdom. The 10 tribes that made up Israel. Okay, in the house of Joseph, to devour it and there be none to quench it in battle. Judgment is coming. So why do you still want to spend your time accumulating material wealth? It's coming. All will be burned up and destroyed. The Syrians will come and take everything from you. So why do you still want to lean upon them as if it is going to be the security of your life and your future? It's not going to help you. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to come to nothing. That's our world too. Your beautiful homes will come to nothing. Your big fat bank account or your money or your credit cards, nothing. Powerless. Useless against the forces of the devil when he comes in the name of the Antichrist to conquer the world. The Lord already told us in the book of Revelation, open our spiritual eyes to see. Seek the Lord and you will live. You don't seek him, you will die. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, these people who will turn judgment into something poisonous. That means you're not interested in God's word. You're not interested in God's truth and God's judgment. You ignore it. You turn your back on it. And you leave off righteousness in the earth. You don't care for anything that is righteous. God warns you. You're going to be destroyed. You have to seek the Lord and you will live. Seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion, the heavens, and turn the shadow of death into the morning. God has the power to save you from death, and maketh the day dark with night, and that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. That's how great and how powerful God is. What is his name? Jehovah, the Lord. Are you going to seek him? He is greater and more powerful than the Assyrians and the devil. It's only in him will you be safe. Nothing and no one else. Only the Lord in Christ. The devil will take away your life as far as physical life is concerned. But he can't touch your soul. That's why the Lord says, don't be afraid of him, whose power is only over the physical realm. No power over the spiritual. He can't take your soul. When the Bible tells us, and Jesus told us, it is better for a man to lose his right eye and his right arm and find himself in heaven and to go to hell with a complete and full body. You know how precious a right arm and a right eye is to a person in those days? These are the key parts of his body that he uses to keep him safe and to make. Most people are right-handed. If you lose your right eye, you can't fight with your sword and your shield. Right, you use a shield to protect so that one part of your body you can see, right? And that's the right eye. You can't fire the bow and arrow. Because you're going to fire, he says, it's gone. How to see? You can't. That's why the Lord purposely used the right eye. Right hand. Most people are right-handed. That means, in other words, it is far more important to give up whatever you take on earth, whatever it is, just to find yourself in heaven. Than to live the good life using your right eye and the right hand to make tons of money, and then at the end of it, you end up in hell. Give up whatever it takes that prevents you from entering the kingdom of heaven. Seek the Lord and you will live on his terms. Love all the things I love. Hate all the evil that I hate. This is part of the first five sermons that we have been focusing on. And this is the night of our response.
our witness. That's the key.
How much are you prepared to protect the name and image of Christ that you bear in your body? How much? The Lord says, you seek me and you will live. The Lord is his name that strengtheneth and the spoiled against the strong. So he can make you strong. The spoiled, that means you have been defeated. He can make you stronger than the strong ones. So that the spoil shall come against the fortress. He can make you strong. That means when the Assyrians come, you don't have to be afraid. Because they can take your body, but they can't take your soul in Christ. That is the ultimate. That's what Amos wanted them to realize. As individuals, the Assyrians will come. The Antichrist will come. You must now save your soul. This body must be prepared to die. The Lord lived, suffered, and died for us, right? After he saved us, he left you and me behind. Now will you live, suffer, and die for Christ? Unconditional surrender to him. That's what it means to seek the Lord, and you will live. Live for him, prepare to suffer for him, and to ultimately die for him. Because whether you like to admit it or not, we are basically all dying. You realize that? We are living and dying at the same time. What are you living and dying for? If you are motivated by the accolades of man, you are living and dying for the praises of man. If you are living and dying and you are working for money, then you are living and dying for mammon. But if you are constrained by the love of Christ, your life is determined by what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches, then you are living and dying for Christ. That's what it means. Seek the Lord means find him in the Bible. Obey the Bible and you will live. If you don't obey the Bible, you will die. Plain and simple. You can say all the right words you want, but if it is not evidenced by a life of obedience according to the Bible, you are done for. Loss of witness. This is the way to restore your witness. Come back to the Lord as individual. Save your soul. Maintain your witness. Because as you witness, as you tell others, please be prepared. They're going to hurt you. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. The world is going to hate you. You tell them the truth about you died in sin, you're going to end up in hell. They're going to hate you. You tell homosexuals, if you live in this kind of life, because I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. There is no salvation for you because the Bible made it very plain and clear. No homosexual will ever inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now you tell them this truth. What do you think they're going to do to you? You have tasted some of this from the internet. You can read it. But you still have to say it nonetheless. They're going to hate you. They're going to abhor you because you speak uprightly. But remember, your God. These people who have this kind of arrogance and people power behind them, don't be angry with them, don't be bitter with them. Pity them. Because what awaits them is the judgment and the wrath of God. Right now, you face the wrath of man because you want to stand up for Christ. You want to state the truth as it is. For as much, therefore, as you're treading, your trampling down is upon the poor, the Christians. Ye take from him burdens of wheat. And so you build your houses out of hewn stone. You become very rich and powerful. God says you shall not dwell in them. You have planted all your beautiful, pleasant vineyards. You're not going to drink from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. You think God doesn't know what they are, what's happening on our earth? This is his world. He created this world as our home. You think he does not know that the homosexuals will soon rise to power? He already warned us. Before the Lord returns, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah to prepare us to understand the influence and the consequence and the significance when the world becomes homosexual. Those who say the truth against them, be prepared to face the consequence of suffering for Christ. But always bear in mind, your God knows the manifold transgressions and the mighty sins of these people. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right.
Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. They are going to face it. They are going to be destroyed. Seek good and not evil, brothers and sisters in Christ, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as he hath spoken. He will never leave you. He will always be there for you. You will never, never be alone, even though you may stand alone at times. In your school, in your workplace, righteousness and for the truth. But he is with you. Always seek the good and not evil. Hate the evil and love the good. You see how it is changed from seek, that means follow the good and not evil, so that you may live, and the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as he has promised. Hate the evil and establish. The word establish means to place permanently the judgment in the gate. Don't budge. Don't budge. Place it permanently in the gate. Where you stand, that means in your life, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph, and he will, and he was. Those individuals follow the Lord will show his grace to you, and you will be found in heaven for eternity. How is your witness? If it is in tatters, come back to the Lord, seek him, and you will live. But as you return and be a holy witness again, be prepared. When you maintain the witness, the world will despise you and hate you. When you were a bad witness, they treated you well, the world. But when you were a bad witness, the Lord's heart was broken. The Lord sent a lamentation, a weeping. When you come back, the Lord is pleased with you. The Lord promised you, you will live. But bear in mind, the world will now despise you and hate you. This is your choice. You love God, you hate the things that he hates, and you will live. But if you do not love the world, God says you hate me. But bear in mind the consequence. Whatever you decide, there will be consequences. Either you hear God say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant in heaven. Or you hear man say to you, well done, good and faithful servant on earth. And find yourself in the lake of fire. Your choice, brothers and sisters, please choose wisely and choose well. We do not have many more years to witness and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever time we have left, make sure of and make sure of your holy witness to the very end of your life, and make sure of the salvation of the people under your care, your children. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we evaluate our present witness at home, in church, wherever we are. We realize, O Lord, there is so much we can do to improve our witness for Thee. For in the world, we witness for Christ to point sinners to the Savior. And in Your church, we witness to brothers and sisters in Christ to provoke them unto love and to good works. Help us, O Lord, not to fail Thee. For You have saved us by Your grace and Your mercies in Christ Jesus. And You have given us the highest honor and privilege to bear the image of Jesus Christ on earth, in order that by our words and by our good deeds, people around us will see Christ in us and glorify Thee who art in heaven. What a privilege to be able to bear the image of the Son of God, God Himself. Cleanse us and wash us of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, for we have failed Thee time and time again. Help us, O Lord, to come back to Thee, to seek Thee, that we may live all the days of our lives until we see Thee face to face. And when we witness for Christ, strengthen us and grant us courage and conviction, for the world will hate us, abhor us. May we stand true to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the days of our lives and remain permanently in our holy witness for Him to the very end. Help us. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.